You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
I'd just like to share with you one of the first encounters we had was when we came through the tunnels. My son was with us. He's the ninth delegate. He's a member of the Environmental Youth Alliance, and he's in Nairobi right now. He won't be here till Friday, so there were nine of us. My son and I came through the tunnel. We had no idea. I mean, we hadn't been through the Gaza tunnels before. And when we came out, the first person that we met sort of said, I mean, jumped up and said, "Don't worry, you're in Gaza." So it was very reassuring. So with that, I'd like to actually start with a message that the delegates received when we met with the principal at the Al-Fahoura School, the UN Boys Middle School. It's one of the schools that was bombed during the cast lead. And that's where we met the principal. But initially, when we arrived that day, it was a really happy occasion because the students had gone back to school to pick up their report cards. It was the last day, and they had a long holiday ahead of them. So they were as jubilant as students anywhere. So were the teachers. So initially, this was a very familiar scene to me. As you heard, I've had 35 years experience saying goodbye to students in June and hello to them in September. But after Mr. Salah took us to his classroom, anything to do with familiarity that I had ever experienced as a teacher ended there when he gave us an account of the unforgivable cruelty that was inflicted on the schools in Gaza during the Israeli bombing. Even though the IDF had been given the exact coordinates of all of the schools in Gaza, 280 of them had been bombed. In Mr. Salah's school, the United Nations school, the Al-Fahoura that we're talking about here and picture, 2,700 people from the neighborhood took refuge during the 3 weeks of cast lead. In Mr. Salah's classroom alone, 80 of his students and their families took refuge from the bombs and from the white phosphorus. So during that time, I mean, they were in a classroom with no light, no heat. The windows had been blown out. One entire wing of the school was destroyed. So was the library. 46 people were killed in that school during the 3 weeks. Five of them were children. In Mr. Salah's classroom alone, three of his students died. I've been practicing saying this because each time I say it, it's so difficult, but three of his students left, and when they were out in the left the school one afternoon to go and buy something, and when they were out in the street, and four Israeli mortars slammed into the street, and they died. So Mr. Salah then was faced, once the schools reopened, he was faced with the unbelievable task of how to deal with the loss of their classmates when he had his classroom back. So I think the next slide is his attempt to, the three boys just coincidentally sat in a row, and those are their names on the desk, and you can see the grim faces of the students. So Mr. Salah had to devise a curriculum that would somehow deal with the emotional wounds that not only his students faced, but their families as well. And he decided that he would totally revamp his curriculum. He invited the families into the school, into his classroom, and they, for the next while, they experienced drama and sports, festivals, conflict resolution in a way of trying to deal with these wounds and heal them a little bit. And after a period of time, eventually students were able to open up and talk about their feelings and their experiences and were slowly on a road to healing, which, of course, will take decades or forever. Although Mr. Salah's heroic dedication is incredibly inspiring, it wasn't at all unique in terms of what the people of Gaza do for each other, in terms of their commitment for care and support, and also for their commitment to the ongoing struggle to free Palestine. But just during the cast lead operation, I mentioned 280 schools were destroyed, were damaged. 18 were destroyed. Six universities and colleges were destroyed and 7 were damaged. 164 students were killed and 454 were injured. 12 teachers were killed and 5 were injured. But as we know, although the Castellet assault was brutal, it certainly, the IDF killing of children in Israel and in Palestine, is nothing new. And since 2002, the Second Intifada, in Gaza alone, 685 children have been killed by Israeli forces. We've been hearing tonight that there are so many challenges facing the people of Gaza, not only because of the aftermath of Castellet, but also because of the ongoing siege. One of the many challenges facing the schools is the lack of resources. Because of the blockade, it severely limits essential educational materials like books and science equipment. But on a positive note, just recently, the Islamic University graduated its second class of medical students, which I think is an incredible victory, considering that their school had been bombed and parts of it had never been rebuilt, and they were able to graduate without the use of any science classrooms or labs. So the fact that they've been able to do this, I think, is an incredible victory. There are severe limits to higher education. The illegal closure of Gaza from land, sea, and air fundamentally violates students' access to freedom of movement and education. According to the Israeli Supreme Court, Palestinian students are in the dangerous category, and so are systematically denied study permits for universities in the West Bank or abroad. So this puts an incredible pressure on the universities of Gaza. A lot of students do not have access to them because there's limited enrollment. Unfortunately, job opportunities are also limited. In the 15 to 19 age category, there's 72% unemployment rate, and for 20-year-olds to 24, it's 66%. So the reality of Gaza as a rapidly growing population deprived of education and job opportunities, facing ongoing poverty and alienation. But as I said, despite all of that grim information, the spirit of the Gaza people is truly inspiring. I mentioned overcrowding in the universities. It's also a problem in the secondary and the elementary schools. About 43% of students go to UN schools. The rest go to government and private schools, which most of the schools are on a shift where some go in the morning and some go in the afternoon. Class sizes are about 45 to 50 students per class. And because of Israel's prohibition on construction materials, it has now, because of the tunnels, it's helping, but it's so difficult to repair the schools that were damaged during Castellet, or even to do the renovating of the wear and tear, just a regular wear and tear on schools. According to the Ministry of Education, in the 2011-2012 year, last year, 40,000 children of Gaza were denied access to public education because there weren't enough classrooms for them. They're missing at least 1,000 classrooms, and they can't. I think they have a permit for 3 new schools, which is hardly going to solve it. Brian and Jace both mentioned the buffer zones. That's the restricted border area. Like where the farmers and the fishers and people do not have are frequently bombarded by Israeli fire. Well, unfortunately, 44,000 students go to school in these areas, and the fear, uncertainty, the evacuations, damage to schools, and the ongoing stress, you can imagine what effect that has on students' ability to learn and their overall coping with academic challenges. 80% of Palestinians have experienced trauma as a result of losing a parent or a close family member. They've often witnessed brutal violence. They know that their homes, their neighborhoods, their schools are not safe, and that often adults are not going to be able to protect them. There are so many organizations in Gaza to support the students and their families. The Hassan Kafani Development Center, it was one of the ones that we visited, and their goal is to try to put smiles back on the faces of the children of Gaza. There's so much to say. I've run out of time, but I just want to let everybody know that I think it's obvious that we are really inspired by the people that we met in Gaza, I just wanted to quickly end with a request from a member of the Palestinian Democratic Party to us, and I'd like to pass it on to you. He said, "With your voices, your pens, and your cameras, please carry the message of the Palestinian people to the world. And today we'd like you to join us in that struggle, because that's what we feel like has to be done, especially to our government, and as we've been talking about, their complicity in the ongoing occupation of Palestine." Thank you.